Okay, so I've been speaking a little bit the last bunch of weeks, but the difference between a mikvah and a ma'ayan, and tonight's going to be, I think, our last year sort of really exploring in an active way that difference. I want to go over some things and be able to frame what we're going to speak about tonight. Tonight we're going to speak about, it's a little bit less relevant, halakha l'maisa. It happens to be, it's very relevant in the world of lamdas. There's a very famous, in this sugya, famous Reb Chaim in Hilchos Mikvos, that we'll be able to at least identify and speak a little bit about. We know that there's a mikvah and there's a ma'ayan. There are two ways, two kinds of bodies of water that a person could go in order to become tahor. And we know that we've identified what appears to be two main differences between a mikvah and a ma'ayan. A mikvah has to be eshborin. A mikvah is a body of water where the water is static. And a mikvah requires arba'im sa'a. A mikvah requires a certain shear of arba'im sa'a. Those are mishnayos in Mesechas Mikvaos, in the first perek, and the Gemara's talk about that as well. As opposed to a ma'ayan, where a ma'ayan, the Mishnah tells us, is kosher, b'chol shehu. If I have a spring of water, it's kosher, even b'chol shehu. And as opposed to a mikvah where there's a psul of zochlin, if the water is moving, a mikvah moving out of it, whatever it is, at a certain kind of pace, a certain direction, there's a psul of zochlin in regards to a mikvah. There's no psul of zochlin in regards to a ma'ayan, but rather a ma'ayan, the water could move as well. The two primary differences, zochlin and memsa'a. And we've seen, we spoke about last week, different indications as far as how different mikvah and ma'ayan really are. Is it possible for many Mishonim, the rehold, that a ma'ayan also really requires arba'im sa'a? For a person to be tovalin, it also requires arba'im sa'a. And we saw a discussion, well, ma'ayan is kosher b'zochlin, but is it also kosher b'eshborin? What exactly are the dinim as far as a mikvah and a ma'ayan? But from what we've seen so far, pretty much it either has to be a mikvah, in which case you require arba'im sa'a and eshborin, or it has to be a ma'ayan. Nevertheless, what appears to emerge, and this many point out, Reb Chaim notes both of these sugyas in the piece in Hilchos Mikvaos and makes a connection between them. Rav Re'im, the yeshiva of the Hezer Yeshiva in Otniel, has a wonderful sefer on Mesechas Mikvaos. So there he has a nice discussion about both of these sugyas as well. And that's the following. There are two mishnayos where we seem to have a merging, or it's not so clear, is it possible something is both or in between mikvah and ma'ayan? Could you have an in-between status? Could you have an in-between status? We're going to go through both sugyas. We're going to try to sort of develop a little bit what these may actually be based on. The first is a Mishnah, Mesechus Mikvaos, and Perek Aleph, Mishnah Zion. The case is a case of ma'ayan shememav mu'atin. It's a ma'ayan with only a little bit of water. So I have a very small spring. So what do I do with that ma'ayan? I pour on top of it mayim she'uvin. Mayim she'uvin is not rainwater or natural water. It's drawn water. We'll speak probably next week, start talking about the psul of mayim she'uvin. But I take mayim she'uvin, I pour water on top of this small ma'ayan. Akadekach, that it is rabu alav mayim she'uvin. There is significantly more of water I happen to pour on top of this spring. So it's a small spring, and I pour water on top. So what's the status of this item? What's the status of this item? So the Mishnah says it is shavet lemikvah letaher be'eshborin. It has to be static. It's like a mikvah. It's like a mikvah. It can't be zochlin, but it's like a ma'ayan that it's okay b'chol shehu. It's like a ma'ayan that it doesn't require arba'im sa'a. So it's on some level like a mikvah. Again, the case is you have a small ma'ayan without a lot of water, and you pour in lots of other water. Mayim she'uvin in general will be possible. Why is not possible here? It's obviously not for now. That's the next week she'uvin discussion. So what I have is a small bit of ma'ayan, and they pour other water on top. So now is this body like a mikvah or a ma'ayan? So the Mishnah says, well, it's like a ma'ayan, it's okay b'chol shehu. It's like a mikvah, it has to be eshborin. That's what it says. That's what the Mishnah says.
How could it be that okay with the kol shehu, by definition, it was too little, so you poured on my shoe?
No. Maybe it was fine, small. I added more water. So what's the status of this item? So there is a very important machlokas harishonim between the Ran and some other rishonim in the Darim on Mem Amud Beis, and the Rambam in Perush HaMishnah, the Ram in other places, the Rosh, albeit in slightly different ways, about the following. The Ran says it can't be. It can't be that you have a body of water that is partially like a mikvah and partially like a ma'ayan. Either it's a mikvah or it's a ma'ayan. It definitely can't be both. Rather, says the Ron Elavade Hachika Amar. What it means is ma'ayan zeh sherabu alav mayim she'uvin mikomos yeshbo she'toras mikvah alayhen v'tzarech hashborim. Behind the osim mikomos uzochol ben achshav makmas b'behen notvin. And there are also mikomos where it's like a mikvah, mikomos it's like a ma'ayan. Meaning, says the Ron, the Mishnah does not mean you could have one body of water that is both a mikvah and a ma'ayan, meaning has a middle status. But rather, when I have a small ma'ayan and then I add in water, there will be sections of that. As an example, without all the details, where the original ma'ayan was, where there would be okay b'chol shehu, and there are other sections the Mishnah means. And there it would be more analogous to a mikvah, and that's where it would have eshborit. I.e., says the Ron, the Mishnah does not mean the item itself requires eshborit and kol shehu. It means depends which part I'm going into. I'm going in more to the ma'ayan part, that's kol shehu. If I'm going into more the mikvah part, that's eshborit is going to be okay. Parentheses, there are obviously questions that we'd have. We want to know about the Arbaim Sa'a and the Eshbor and the Mayim She'uvin. We're going to get all that stuff we're going to get to when it is appropriate to get to it, which is not tonight. But that's the Ron. What the Ron seems to hold, what's motivating the Ron to read the Mishnah that way? The Ron seems to hold Eino Domet Mikvah and Ma'ayan. They are two fundamentally different bodies of water. And because they are fundamentally different, you can't be a mixture of both. I'm either a mikvah or I'm a ma'ayan, but there's no way of splitting them at all. Comes along the Rambam in Peirush HaMishnah, and the Rambam writes in Peirush HaMishnah that this location is bein mishpat ha-mikvah v'ha-ma'ayan. It's the inyan, the ma'ayan bedavar or mikvah bedavar. It is a middle category. You can have something that is in between. Normally, mikvah arba'im sa'a, and Eshborin, Ma'ayan, Kolshu, and Zochlin. But this is a unique case where we break down the boundaries between Mikvah and Ma'ayan. It has a mixture of both. Now, two things emerge from this. Number one, what's clear, is that it's not like the Ron holds, everything is either a Mikvah or a Ma'ayan, but there can be something in between. It can happen in between. But what you have to figure out for the Rambam is, okay, there can be something in between. But how do you explain its in-between status? Why is it ma'ayan b'chol shehu, mikvah b'eshborin? Why would you have a body of water that would split? What exactly would be the rationale? Why would you have a body of water where you would find such a distinction? We have Machlokes Harishonim in the Mishnah. Is there a case? It sounds in the Mishnah. There's a body of water which is both mikvah and ma'ayan mixed together. One of the dinim of mikvah, one of the dinim of ma'ayan. The Ron says, no way, different chaluyos. The Rambam holds that there's some sort of a mixture. We have this in a second sugya also. But there, it's a mixture in the opposite direction. The case, it's a Mishnah in Meseches Mikvaos, Perakei Mishnah Vav. You have an ocean. The status of an ocean, the discussion, Mishnais Meseches Mikvaos, Mishnais Meseches Para. But you have either an ocean for one mandamar or a ma'ayan. And what comes out of that is a gal shenitlash. You have a wave that comes out of either a ocean, and an ocean is like a ma'ayan, or the ma'ayan itself, you have a wave which comes out, and the wave comes out and says the Mishnah, Uvo arba'im sa'a. It comes out, it has arba'im sa'a, v'nafal al ha'adam v'al ha'kelim tehorim. V'nafal al ha'adam v'al ha'kelim tehorim. I.e., if I have a wave which comes out of a ma'ayan, and I get drenched by the wave, it comes down on me, so I am considered to be tahor. The Gemara in Chulin on Daf Lamed Aleph has discussion in light of this, whether tvila ba'i kavana or lo ba'i kavana, Can I bring a raya from here, Yoni Kavana, because the wave just came on you? Or maybe even if you require Kavana, the Gemara says, I have Kavana. I see the wave is coming. And I have in mind, this is going to be my mikvah. And a big wave comes, and it's 40 sah of water, and it totally just comes on me, and I'm going to be tahor. Point out the mifarshim. Again, a lot of our structure is based on the way that River Aim set it up in that sefer. Tovel yantav as a kashra. He said, I understand. The wave is undoubtedly zochlin. It's part of a ma'ayan. It's part of an ocean. From Manda Amar, the oceans are like ma'ayans. It's moving water. It's a wave. That's moving water. It's not connected even to the... It's gal shenitl. It's a wave that got disconnected from the ma'ayan. It's obviously zochlin. It's obviously zochlin. And nevertheless, the Mishnah says, you require arba'im sah. You require arba'im sah. So we seem to have, says Tovas Yantiv, what's going on right now? If it's really a ma'ayan, and therefore Zochlin's okay, haray, the water is moving, it's not static, why do I require a bamsa? Ma'ayan requires kol shehu. And if you do require a bamsa, because it's like a mikvah, well, a mikvah's puzzle be Zochlin. So whereas the previous case was in between, because it was a case where kol shehu with eshborin, this is a middle case in the opposite direction. It's a case of mayim zochlin, but I require arba'im sa'ah. So we seem to have two middle cases in the world of mikvah. Two cases that are not really mikvahs or ma'ayans. We could probably anticipate that there will be two mahalchim in Rishonim and Achronim. One group of Rishonim is going to maintain there is no middle category going on right here. There are no middle categories. You're either a mikvah or you are a ma'ayan. So what's going on here? If you're either a mikvah or a ma'ayan, so how is Zochlin okay, but I require arba'im sa'ah? So, Tovas Yontif points out, it's really the Rashba in Torah Habayis quotes it as a comment of Rabbeinu Tam, but it's a shita of the Ri, that remember, if you go back, there are Rishonim that hold that a ma'ayan, which is kosher, bezochlin, actually also requires arba'im sa'ah. That a ma'ayan also requires arba'im sa'ah. Wow, the mitzvah is only kol shehu. No, that's in certain limited circumstances. But a regular person that wants to be tovil also requires arba'im sa'ah. So it comes along Rabbeinu Tam in the Rashba, and it's as follows. Gal shenitlas is a ma'ayan. So why does it require arba'im sa'ah? A raya to my shita, that every ma'ayan that a person's going to be tovel in requires arba'im sa'ah. Meaning, the Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Rashba, Tovas Yontif, based on the comment of the Ri, points out, there's no such thing as a middle case. No such thing. Either it's a mikvah or a ma'ayan. You can't be a zochlin with that. No. It is a ma'ayan. It's only a ma'ayan. Arba'im sa'ah. Well, some Rishonim hold. A ma'ayan also requires arba'im sa'ah. Clarity thus far? 1, 2, and 3. Right. Yeah. Those are all discussions. That's definitely part of the discussion. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The Ram talks about that. It's Mishnayos there. If the wave's like in the air and you also like jump in the air, that would be different, although cooler, but probably not taller for side reasons. Okay. However, the Shach in Yoredeya, this Reb Chaim points out, the Shach in Yoredeya says, by the way, I don't think that's Pshat. I don't think it's only a Ma'ayan. Hare, let's just even note this for a second. There are Rishonim that hold Ma'ayan is just a kol shehu is all you need. So it can't be that. There are Rishonim that hold a Ma'ayan rikshu. So why does this Ma'ayan require? Why does this Ma'ayan require arba'im sa'ah? So says the Shach, you know what? It's actually an in-between kind of a status. It's not, it's like a Ma'ayan that it requires Zochlin, but it's not a Ma'ayan mamish, and therefore requires arba'im sa'ah. So we have is as follows. We have two Mishnayos that lefi the pashat shot of the Mishnayos, we have situations that are constructed in which something is not just a mikvah or a ma'ayan, but rather it's something in between. For gal shenitlas, the wave case, it's a wave which is zochlin, and it's part of a ma'ayan, but it requires our bamsa'a like a mikvah. Or if it's a small ma'ayan with a little bit of water, and you add an additional water, it's like a ma'ayan b'chol shehu, but it's like a mikvah requires a shborin. Reb Chaim points out, l'chora, those two machloksim are connected. That you do have a group of Rishonim, l'chora, who hold that everything is either a mikvah or a ma'ayan. They are two different realities. And therefore, any kind of a case that looks like it's a mixture is not really a mixture. It's only a ma'ayan, or this area is a mikvah, this area is a ma'ayan, but everything has to be one or the other. You can't split the psul of zochlin and memsa. Those things always go together. If zochlin's possible, you require memsa. Eshborin, memsa, whatever that's how it goes. However, there are Rishonim and Achronim, the Rambam, the Shach, who believe, the Rash, that there are middle categories. There are middle categories. So what's Pshat? I understand what motivates the Ran. I understand what motivates the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba to make it all one. But how do you explain those who hold that you could split between them and have an item which is like a mikvah, but also like a ma'ayan. So Reb Chaim has a couple suggestions. The Shach seemed to say out some of it. Reb Re'im has it also. I'll say it out, which I think is almost the most simple way of saying it, as follows. What determines, as far as the psul of zochlin, is not the same. Okay, we'll say that in one way. It said is not the same as what determines le'inyan kol shehu and arba imsa. There are different shilas. One of the ways that Reb Chaim says that is as follows, and this is how you can have a middle status. The din of kol shehu, has to do with whether it has. In its core, let me just read the line, is about etzem ha-ma'ayan, din ma'ayan al hamayim. The din of kol shehu arbamsa is based on whether al pi din it's a ma'ayan, al pi din it's not a ma'ayan. We'll elaborate in a second. But is it be'etzem? Is it essentially considered to be a ma'ayan or not? The din of zochlin has to do more with, is the water coming from a ma'ayan? Is the mayim coming from a ma'ayan or not? We'll add a hesber to make it a little bit clearer for us. But essentially as follows. The din of zochlin and the din of kol shehu are actually taloi in two slightly different parts of things. Most ma'ayans are a din of ma'ayan, and the water obviously also comes from a ma'ayan. The Arizal's mikvah is a ma'ayan, and all the water there is ma'ayan water. Pashut. And most mikvahs don't have a din ma'ayan, they require arba imsa. And the water is mikvah water. But you could have distinctions. As follows. When it comes to the gal shenitlash, the wave that came off, the wave is no longer right now attached to the ma'ayan. It's no longer attached to the ocean. It is not al-pi-din a ma'ayan. Because ma'ayan al-pi-din is connected to a natural spring. And the wave, when it comes off, le'inyan, from a certain perspective, is not called a ma'ayan. Because it's not really connected directly to a natural spring. It's off. It's not connected to the ground. And that's why it's not going to have the kula of kol shehu. The din of kol shehu is a din in shem ma'ayan. You're connected, that's good enough. One way of explaining it, a little bit of a hasbro, we're mixing some things here, is for the following reason. How come a ma'ayan you can get away with kol shehu? why does the Ma'ayan require a Bamsa? So part of it is because a Ma'ayan, we never really look at Stam on its own. It's always mechubar to a spring which is coming. It always has more value than just the little bit I see. It's part of something, it's part, it has a chibor, something bigger. When the wave is disconnected, so suddenly it no longer has the, no longer Ma'ayan, and it can't have the din of Kol Shehu. However, explain some of the Achronim, what about Zochlin with the wave? What about Zochlin with the wave? Well, Zochlin's a din in the water. Is it water that comes from a Ma'ayan? Why is that what it's about? Because remember we saw Rashi and Shabbos. What's Zochlin about? Darko. Is it the way it normally moves? Is it the way it normally moves? A wave is not technically part of a Ma'ayan. It is not connected to a spring. But it's Darko. The whole psul of Zochlin is, in a mikvah, Darko shel mikvah is to be static. In a Ma'ayan, Darko shel Ma'ayan is to move. Well, what about a wave? A wave is not a Ma'ayan al pi din, but Darko shel a wave, the way of a wave is that it's Zochlin, it's moving. So le'inyan, the shear of Kol Shehu or Arba'im Sa, that's going to have to be, again, Reb Chaim does put Rashi and Shabbos, but I think it explains it better. Not better. I think it explains it for us in a way that maybe we can understand better. That when it comes to a Ma'ayan, a wave is not a Ma'ayan al pi din. It's not connected anymore. And only if you're connected is Kol Shehu okay. If you're on your own, you're assessed on your own. But the psul of Zochlin is not relevant here. Because Zochlin is only a psul if the water is not in the way the water normally is. But a wave is normally moving. That's how Reb Chaim explains, in a bit of a different, that's how he explains how you could have a mixture of mikvah and ma'ayan. Clarity on that point? One, two, and... Let me go with the next one, and then we'll... Yeah. Yeah, Zochlin is all based on not, is it a ma'ayan or is it a mikvah? But rather, does this kind of water normally move? Or does this kind of water normally stay stagnant? So most mikvah water normally stays stagnant. Eshborin. Ma'ayan water normally moves. Zochlin. This is a very unique case because it's water which is not connected. It's not alpidin ma'ayan, but it's, since it comes from a ma'ayan, it normally moves. So there's no psul of Zochlin because the psul of Zochlin is if you're doing that which is not darko. But a wave, darko is to move. So it's going to have the, it's going to need the 40 sa. It's not alpidin ma'ayan, but it's going to be okay to be Zochlin because darko shall ma'ayan is to move. And Zochlin, Zolpsul, and Darko. Yeah. So there you have to get, first of all, they may hold like the other camp. They may hold the other camp. And there are also slightly different ways of saying it. Reb Chaim has other ways of saying it also. There are different like nuanced ways of saying it. I'm just bringing Rashi in case it helps understand Zochlin. For Reb Chaim, it may just be, it's a din, that mayim that comes is possible. Something like that, but it's not. What about for the other case? The other case. What's the other case? It's where you have a ma'ayan, it's a small ma'ayan, and you poured water on top. And you poured water on top. It's very intelligent. You pour water on top. So what's the status? What's the status? On the one hand, it's like a ma'ayan, it's okay b'chol shehu, but the Zochlin is going to be pasul. Why is that going to be? For the following reason. Why is it like a ma'ayan b'chol shehu? Because kol shehu is totally on what? Are you alpidin a ma'ayan? And is this alpidin a ma'ayan? Yes, because it's still connected. It's in the ground. It's a ma'ayan. It's a spring. That's called a ma'ayan. The ma'ayan at its core, it's alpidin a ma'ayan, parentheses, because all the mayim she'uvin water that you added is really only okay because it's connected to the ma'ayan. At its core, it's really a ma'ayan. We'll think of that more when we learn more Rebbe Kvos. But at its core, it's really considered to be a ma'ayan. It is still there. Isn't detached, it's still there. And if it has the status of a ma'ayan, Kol Shehu's okay. Oh, but for the water itself, how come the water has a psul of Zochlin? Why is the water a psul of Zochlin? Because the psul of Zochlin is based on where does the water come from? Or the way we were saying it, what is the derech? What is the derech of this water? So in this case, formally, al pi din, it registers as a ma'ayan. That's what gives it its status. The status is because there's a small ma'ayan at the bottom. That is what gives it its status as a kosher mikvah. Without that small ma'ayan at the bottom, It would not be mayim she'uvin are never okay. The only reason why when you pour the water on top it's okay is because that initial ma'ayan, its status because it's a real ma'ayan. But how come Zochin's pasul? If it's really a ma'ayan, how come Zochin's pasul? Because Zochin is based on where does the water really come from? Where does the water really come from? So here in this case, even though it's a ma'ayan, this is not water which is normally moving. This is drawn water. I poured buckets of water in. This is not a natural spring where it's darko to move. It's bichlal not darko to move. This is just normal water in a ma'ayan. Well, Zochlin goes based on what kind of water are you? And regular water that is supposed to be stagnant, psul Zochlin, psul Zochlin. So Reb Chaim essentially argues is, the following. Again, he has some nuance to be mentioned, but this is the general mahalach. Let's chazer what we said, make sure we're clear, and then we'll see if we have koach for another like hour. By that I mean, yeah, we'll see. We spoke in the last bunch of weeks about, the first week we spoke about the idea of learning taros, and taros being halach lemaisa, taros being more abstract, why there's no gemara on taros. We spoke about the who goes to a mikvah and why. We had one shiur for Yom Kippur, about the tevil of Yom Kippur. But primarily in the other, I think, three or four shiurim, we've spoken a lot about mikvah and ma'ayan, which is a lot of the core sugyas of Zochlin and the requirement of memsa'a. Those are two of the main sugyas. We're trying to point out tonight that there is a machlokas, or seems to be a machlokas. Can you have things that are in between? The Ran and the Darim seems to assume absolutely not. You're either a mikvah, or you're a ma'ayan. Rabbi Yotam, the Reef Thomas Yantif, you're either a mikvah or you're a ma'ayan. No in-betweens. But the pashtus of two mishnas in mikvahs is that you could be in-between. You could be like a mikvah to require eshborin, like a ma'ayan b'chol shehu. Or you could be like a mikvah to require memsa, but like a ma'ayan that zochlin's okay. And there may be reason to be mechalik between them. Maybe, most ma'ayans are both, and most mikvahs are both. But you can construct cases where it's alpidina ma'ayan, but not really ma'ayan water. That mishnah, it's ma'ayan, but you pour the water from the outside. And you could be a case where something is not really a ma'ayan because it's detached from the ground, but it's really ma'ayan water, and therefore Zochlin's going to be there. Which really is part of this point, that Zochlin and Memsa'a, all of these may really be two very, very different psulim. General, as far as how we are. Let me make one more ha'ara, and hopefully this will, if you got it, great. If not, don't worry about it. But if you remember, we spoke about how, according to the Bir Hagra, from a tshuva of the Rivash, the psulim of Zochlin and Memsa'a are really one and the same. That the Gra pointed out that why is Zochlin pasal in the mikvah? Because if Zochlin is moving, it's not mitzarif to memsa'a. It's not able to be mitzarif to memsa'a. According to the Gra and the Rivash, you could never really say any of this lumdis lichora, or it would be harder for you to understand that you could have something with a Zochlin but no memsa'a, a memsa'a without a Zochlin, or things like that. Because for the Bir HaGra, they're really one and the same psul. They're one and the same psul. They're really a psul of, do I have a shear or do I not have a shear? If it's Zochlin, I have no shear. If I don't have enough water, I have no shear. So even though we are pointing out now, the Shach explicitly distinguishes between these things, the Rambam also, Reb Chaim gives a bit more of a hesber as to why. In truth, there are those that would say, one of the reasons why you're either a mikvah or a ma'ayan is because end of the day, there's only one distinction, which is about, you know, memsa and Zochlin are really one and the same. If it's moving, there's no memsa, so therefore you can't really be mechalik between them. You got that point, great, not, it's fine. We're sort of ending our mikvah ma'ayan sections for now. We'll speak about the next couple of weeks about one of the major, major psulim of mikvah. We'll have a couple of weeks on mayim she'uvin. And again, our goal is that we're going to be covering the major sugyas, and then the last bunch of weeks, hopefully, we'll speak about the actual physical construction of our mikvahs nowadays to take us sort of like all the way through to get some good insight into what exactly is going on. But hopefully we're holding. We try to also do it, hope it's okay, but part of the goal is to be able to reference back to things we saw in order hopefully to like give over a certain sense of building week to week. B'mayim Sheuvin, B'ezra Hashem, next week we'll have the opportunity to speak about. Have a wonderful rest of your nights.